Waters Camp. So Tyrone Dick has been willing to come and bless us this morning with what he has to share. Tyrone comes from the Horizon Bible College and Seminary in Saskatoon.
Thank you, Janet. Yeah, well, it's so nice to meet you all and to gather and worship together with the priesthood of believers this beautiful morning. Thank you, worship team. That was so good. I was just feeling like there was an open door of heaven, and especially that one line, your presence is an open door. It will tie into my message quite significantly. So I just love it when that happens. Yeah. So I'll introduce myself a little bit so you know who this, you know, new guy is talking to. So as Jenna mentioned, I am from Horizon College and Seminary in Saskatoon. I've been working there for just over a year as the college ambassador, which means I get to do all sorts of ministry and camps and churches, and I get to promote the school that I actually got to go to for 4 years doing my pastoral leadership degree there, and just be able to share all that God has done in my life through Horizon. It's such a blessing to be a part of that, and now to share that, and also just share the word with you this morning. But again, just so you know a little bit about me, I'm originally actually from Winkler, Manitoba. So a small little, yeah. So this little Mennonite town, you bet, Ovayo. Yeah, so I grew up there. I actually did all of my Horizon program, well, most of it, as a Zoom student with a friend while I was interning at my church. I actually only ended up moving to Saskatoon when I got the job at Horizon, but I did most of my program there as a Zoom student, which was actually a really amazing opportunity, and I'll share a little bit more about what God has done in my life. But before that, I just felt like I would love to just share with you, and maybe some of you already know, this might be old news, but for some of you who maybe haven't heard a little bit about what we're about, I just wanted to share that this morning, and maybe there's some new stuff that you maybe haven't heard before. So if you go to the next slide, I'll just be kind of sharing a little bit about, the school that I work for. So what does Horizon, amidst all of the other Bible colleges, seminaries, and programs, is we have quite a few even in Saskatchewan, what is unique about Horizon? Something that I just loved about it was the fact that I got to do my school from the community where I was involved in the church that I was so heavily committed to, and it really, really enriched my faith journey, having that type of community around me. As I was learning in the Bible and growing so much and having people to talk to, it was such an impactful part of my learning journey. So we have on-campus learning, we have live stream learning, which I did, as well as video on-demand learning for a lot of our courses, so you can catch up on your courses and over the weekend or in the evening, that kind of thing. So we offer fully accredited, biblically founded leadership training as our main mission, as we see the need right now in North America, even specifically with the high rate of retiring leaders and Christian leaders, and the need for not just to see these roles filled, but to see the next generation that I feel like God has given me such a heart for, to say yes to God's calling on their life. And so that is the center of our mission, is to see people, young leaders, stepping into the calling that God has for their life. And so our training centers around that. And we have competency-based education as well, which just allows for it's just a more relational type of learning that actually just forms a more confidence and solidification in the learning. I won't get too much of the details there. And then just a few more details. We have also a partnership with other denominations as well, which has just really allowed for our student body to be really diverse. And so I was just really blessed by that. Even a good chunk of our first year this year was from a Mennonite church. And so it just really makes for a great community of iron sharpening iron. And it's just really cool with also just with our really high professor to student ratio, that just there's just a lot of bonding that happens on campus as well. So at this point, you can go to the next slide. So we have also this really cool partnership at the college level with other schools like Sask Poly and Edwards School of Business, and we've done with other colleges as well. But it allows students who are wanting to have maybe a year or two or three or for, of Christian formation, but also maybe they feel like God is calling them into the workforce. So this program allows students to do 2+2 programs where they can get both schools. They get a degree and a certificate for doing those two different programs, but it only ends up being around 4 years because of the partnership. So it's this really cool opportunity that if you know someone that maybe wants to be a mechanic, but wants to have a little bit of time learning about the Bible, this is a great program for them. And the next slide here also is just one of our first, it's a one-year program where students get to spend a month in Panama doing some ministry there with Multiply. And so it's just this amazing opportunity for students to really gain ministry in a context there in Central America. And next slide as well. And then, so we also got some scholarships. So this is just what helps some of these college students get through, like myself. You know, I relied heavily on scholarships. It's so helpful. And then next, this will be, I think the last one. So we also have some seminary programs, including some new ones. So this might apply for more of you. A lot of you might not be thinking about college, but perhaps seminary might be something on your mind. And so the two programs we had were the MA in Ministry Leadership, the Master of Arts in Ministry Leadership, and the MA in Clinical Pastoral Counseling. But now we've added the MA in Biblical and Theological Studies, as well as the Master of Divinity. So these are programs that range from about 16 courses to 25 courses. And so they're aimed to just to prepare you if you want to do a career change, or if you just want to spend some time learning more about God and studying that, or if you feel called into some form of leadership. These are the programs for that. And if you have any questions about any of this, feel free to see me after. I'd love to just share about all these types of things. And also, one of the main things that you can actually help with Horizon and God's mission there is the main thing to pray, because we are believing and we're expecting God to do something in this next generation, and so we want to pray to see a culture where we're just ready to go after God and to learn about Him, and to have Horizon be a culture where people are coming from, or maybe even studying from all the way from BC to Nova Scotia, where we have our Zoom students, for example. But we want to see Horizon be this place where people are really saying yes to God's calling and being equipped to serve Him. And you can also share about Horizon. Share if you have friends or family that might be suitable for one of our programs. That's really, really helpful. It's just an extension. It's less places for me to be if you guys are sharing about what Horizon is doing. And then you can also be a partner by donation, as about 60% of our student tuition is covered by donors to allow them to make Bible College affordable. So I was grateful for that going through my program. So yeah, if you would just prayerfully consider any of those ways to help and support your local Saskatchewan PAOC school, that would be awesome. So I think this is the end of my promo portion. I'm more excited. I'm always more excited to get into the Word, but I love also being able to share about Horizon, as it was such a blessing in my life. And so, as I do this, I want to just I'm going to begin in prayer, and then I'll get into this portion of the message. So Lord God, I just want to thank you this morning that you are here with us, Lord. It's all about you. It's all about your glory, Lord. We have nothing to bring but our hearts and our love and our worship of you. And so, God, we just pray that you would just let heaven be open to us, God, that we would hear your word, that we would be transformed as we see your glory this morning and as we fellowship with one another. Lord, we just pray, God, have your way. We are yours, and we offer ourselves to you this morning and this week, and let your spirit just guide and lead us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I would love to just share a little bit more about my story, as it shapes a lot of when I was preparing this message for you, because I'll be speaking about access and this idea that we have access to the living God and what that means. The whole topic is something that took me from even growing up in a Christian home to a place where, from a place where I was just trying to do the Christian thing, to the place where God started to become real in my life. And so I grew up going to Sunday school, and I grew up in a Christian family teaching me, my parents were wonderful, and they taught me right from wrong, and And so I grew up in that environment, but ultimately, I felt like there was something lacking. Why wasn't I desiring to do what I felt like God was calling me to do? And why was I so drawn to the sin that was stealing my life so much? Fortunately, God began to put people in my life that were speaking to me about God being real. And there were people that were very visual demonstrations of the Holy Spirit being real in their life. And so there was one person in grade 10 who spoke at my youth retreat. And there was something about the way that he spoke that grabbed my attention, because I felt like he actually had a personal, conversational relationship with God that I'd never seen before. And he shared testimonies of boldness and courage to share his faith. And what I was caught up in my mind is why don't I see more Christians like this? What's so different about this guy? So that kind of got me thinking, God, if you're real, there must be more. And if there's more, how do I access it? How do I have this life where your love is oozing out of me? And so little by little, God keeps putting people in my path and showing me that there was more. And God actually led me after high school to do a YWAM, a Youth with a Mission program as well, in Los Angeles, where I was for 3 months doing my lecture phase there. So it was 12 weeks of being discipled, learning about God in a different context. And it was just so amazing. I would say it was one of the most transformational times of my life, because it's where I felt like God's physical or spiritual presence became real to me, and I saw him become real. I saw him heal people in front of my eyes for the first time. I was prophesied over for the first time. And that God becoming real in my life was just the grounds for being able to actually realize that God wanted more for me. And then when I came back, I felt like God was calling me into ministry, but I had no idea what that would look like. I had no friends doing Bible college. It wasn't on my radar at all. Fortunately, my pastor in Winkler, he knew about Horizon, as he was kind of from a POC background. And so he shared about the idea to me and his son, who was, it was me and my pastor's son, so my friend who did our full four-year program together. So he shared that with us, and we ended up just doing the full four-year degree together. And through that, God took this experience that I had in YWAM. So this experience of God being real, he took that, and then he just began to multiply it. And God, he transformed my mind and my ability to actually read God's word and to go deep in it, but also to shape my heart, because I realized that there was so much wrong with my heart. And why I was even wanting to like go into ministry, I just realized that I had so much room to grow. Fortunately, God is just so gracious, and so I'm just so blessed to be able to have that time where I had a community supporting me and leading me ultimately to God, because I could say it's all about these, you know, amazing programs, but really it was God, because I wouldn't be here without him. I wouldn't be free without him and his presence guiding me and leading me. And lately, just one of the key themes in my life lately in the past few years is just this idea of friendship with God and being able to listen to him and abide in him, and how nothing else really compares to that. And ultimately, that I feel like is what leads me to wanting to talk about our access to God. I do want to talk about the context as well. As I mentioned, some of the struggles in my life that I found, whether just simply not knowing that there was more for me or the other challenges that I faced. But the reality is, we, in our circumstances, in the context of what God wants to bring his access into, I want to be real with some of the situations, the circumstances, and the emotions that we face because of these things, because I want God's glory to shine more when we realize kind of what's going on around us. And what we see ever since the beginning of creation, there's been disorder, there's been, at least since the fall, there's been disorder, and there's political and economic unrest. There's struggles in our relationships. We struggle to see ourselves rightly. We struggle to see God rightly or others rightly. We struggle with all sorts. You know, you can name the sins that just seem to call us back. and pride. And there's just so much, it seems like sometimes it's easy to get overwhelmed by some of the negative things that we feel. But if we turn back all the way to the book of Genesis, we see what God wants to do when there is chaos and disorder. And the book of Genesis describes the creation as by creating an expanse between the waters, which is this image for chaos in the Bible. The ocean is this image for chaos. And when God speaks to separate to make an expanse, he's going into the chaos and he's making room for order. And then he also creates light. So where there was full darkness, God chooses to create light. He speaks light into the darkness by his power. And even from that, he creates humans, his own people made in his image that are uniquely designed to house his presence and to be with God, to be the place where God dwells, which is incredible. He created us out of nothing. So God is able to take the chaos and the disorder, and he uses that, and he shows his glory. He makes a way for us to access him. And even when the fall happens, you know, you read two chapters into Genesis, and you're like, this is great, I want more of this. And then chapter 3 rolls around. And even when that happens, when this amazing gift that God had given humans to be able to for God to dwell in them for perfect relationship in this order that God made, and then we decide that we want to take life for ourselves. But even in that moment, after they ate the apple, God still, the next thing he says is, his intention when he says that between Eve's offspring and the devil, the Eve's offspring will crush the serpent's head, is he's already in his mind, he's thinking about how am I going to again restore order. And one of the main key themes I feel like that God does when there is disorder is he wants to give us access to himself. That when there's darkness, he wants to bring light. Where there's our own pride and our brokenness, he wants to restore that relationship. He wants to reconcile us and heal us and call him back fully to himself so that we can have the same level of intimacy with him that he had, that he wanted with us when he made us. And ultimately, we see this so beautifully in Jesus that no one could have ever even imagined him. I heard this saying, a guy who studied the historical, like the history of Jesus, that if Jesus hadn't existed, there's no way that we could have imagined him or created him. He's so different than any of our imaginations or ways that we would have thought that God is like. And so God sends his son in his own perfect image. And I hope you guys know the story of the gospel. If you don't, it's an amazing story of God sending his son Jesus to die for our sins and to rise again and to be ascended into heaven, and then to send his Holy Spirit down for us to have this relationship with God. But again, it was into our brokenness, it was into our hopelessness, and into our sin, I believe it's into depression, it's into anxiety, it's into addiction that Jesus came to dwell with the worst of sinners, to reveal that there is hope, that there is life. And Jesus was this person that someone could talk to face to face, that God shows to into the chaos and the disorder to say, this is my son, this is the way back to me. This is the access that I want to give my creation. So God didn't send more rules. He didn't send more self-help books. There's enough of those going around. He didn't send more podcasts. Nothing wrong with podcasts and books. But what God did is he sent his personal presence in his son. And his son was born in a musty stable among animals. The most humble birth. And even when he was born, his family was forced into exile in Egypt of all places. And Jesus is experiencing the result of sin and the chaos of this world, and he's just living in it, and he's bearing in it, and ultimately through his life he ends up dying on the cross, suffering all of our the rejection from us and the pain. But ultimately, we know that he rises, and the level of access that God wanted to give us through this is now increased to anything more than we could have ever imagined, where he is now interceding for us to the Father, and now we have the Holy Spirit sent down as well. And so I just, when I think about that, and when I meditate on the reality of God seeing all of our brokenness and choosing to still give us access to him, is so incredible. And I think it is, we would be foolish to see hope of salvation in anything but coming to God. And so the passage I want to read this morning is from Psalm 62. And this is David's prayer. I think when he is faced with whatever we know David faced a lot of struggles and trials in his life, enemies that, his own son tried to kill him, and all sorts. His king Saul, who he was going to replace, constantly was trying to get rid of him. So David, in his life, he developed, I think, a really solid prayer life. And this psalm, when I read it, I think captivates how we, as humans, can posture ourselves in the midst of our struggles to be able to say, God, this is my life, but I want to access your throne. I want to see your salvation in my life. I want you to restore me to yourself. So I believe that's the heart of David when he's writing this. And so he says, For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation. My fortress, I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him, like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. My fortress, I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge, is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his work. What a prayer and what a confidence that David had in the Lord. I was struck when I read this, how he just singled out God in his heart with full devotion, saying, for God alone my soul waits in silence. He alone is my rock. For God alone my soul waits in silence. Again, he says, and this amazing devotion he has in being able to recognize that God alone and access to him is what he needs. Throughout his life, David learned that the place to come and rest in was only with the Lord. He placed his trust in God and came to him in prayer. His relationship with God was not intellectual, just in his mind. It was actual. He actually had a conversation with God. And he lived a life of full trust in the Lord. So I would say, if you want to learn to pray like David, read the Psalms if you haven't. It is so helpful to be able to relate to God when we see people who wrestled with intense pain and suffering, and they still find their way to talk to the Lord and to cast their burdens and to pour out their hearts before him in a way that we know is grounded in God's truth. So if you go to the next slide here, something as I was studying this passage, I just discovered some of the art of this, in as much as we see the paintings on the wall and some of the beautiful art and the thought that goes into not just putting color on a canvas, but putting it in a way that there's order that brings out so much meaning. And what David did in this psalm is he made it in what's called a chiastic structure. Not that you have to know what the word means. I don't know why theologians come up with these crazy words. But the structure is where he's beginning in trust, where he says, "For God alone my soul waits in silence." He's beginning in trust with the Lord. So he opens that. That is the foundation for him. The foundation for him is trust in God. And out of that, he totally brings his complaint to God. He doesn't just try to shove it down. He's being real with God that there are enemies in his life that often wanted him no longer alive. And so he out of trust, he brings his complaint before God. You know, he says, "How long will all of you attack a man to batter him?" And so he's real with the struggle that he's facing. But even after that, he comes back again to trust. And he says, "For God alone, oh my soul, wait in silence." So he opens up back in verse 1. He says, "For God alone, my soul waits in silence." But now in the middle here, he's saying, "For God alone, oh my soul, wait in silence." I think what he said in the beginning in saying he trusts God, now he's after realizing the enemies that are after him, he says, "I have to say, oh my soul." So he knows that God is trustworthy and true, but he has to tell himself, "Oh my soul, remember to keep trusting." And so that forms again the middle part of this psalm where he's again saying there's enemies, there's struggles of life, but I can still trust in God. And then he kind of digresses a little bit and he comes back again and he goes over some false trusts. Because he says, "Those of low estate are but a breath, those of high estate are a delusion." So he looks at the world, all statuses of society, the rich, the poor, the oppressed, the free. And he says, all of these things that man can trust in are ultimately nothing compared to the Lord. He says, in the balances, they go up. So just like on the scales, they're nothing, they're air. Everything else is, trust in God is so much more than trusting in riches or anything else. And then finally, he comes back again to this place of trust where he says, in God, this trust in God where he says, "Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this," which I think is just this literary kind of tool, which we don't use a lot in English. Like I wouldn't say that in normal vocabulary. But David says this, and I think it's this way to intensify what he's about to say, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. For you will render to a man according to his work. And I believe that that signifies his trust at the end, because if you know that God is fully powerful, and if you know that God is fully loving, what else could we ask for in someone that we want to trust? Someone that is powerful with his love and loving with his power. I think sometimes we struggle to trust God because we forget one of those two things. I know I do. I'm like, "God, do you really actually want my good? Do you care about this particular thing in my life? Are you actually able to do that? Do you actually care about me and love me the way that you say you do?" But when we, I think, through psalms like this and trusting in God, being real with our issues and still coming back to the place of trust, I think that's a safe way for us to be, "God, I feel like I'm forgetting your power and your love today. Please remind me. Please help me to trust in you." I think that's a daily thing for me, guys. I wish I could get there faster some days. But wow, it can be tough to trust God. But ultimately, we see people like David who went through stuff I'll probably never, ever get to go through. But he still comes back to trust. In all of this, he's posturing himself, I believe, to be able to access God the way that God wants David to access him, to access his presence like a son to the father. And in this psalm, I think there just happened to be about three things struck my heart about his heart that postured him to receive to receive God's access to Him. And the first one is so clear there, is trust, his trust in God, his bold statements, where he said, "For God alone my soul waits in silence." Trust is really, really huge. It's why faith in Jesus is salvation. It's that faith, it's the trust that is the foundation for our relationship with God. And this trust, I believe, fueled this devotion where he was able to say, "There's so much in this world, there's so many struggles and circumstances, but I'm still going to choose to single out God. I'm still going to make him my salvation. I'm not going to look to anything else. I'm going to trust in his power and his love." So there was four times that I counted where he says either "for God alone" or "for God only." There's no like, "I'm going to try to focus on God and wait on him and I'm going to try to do this myself." He's fully devoted and fully trusting and loving in that devotion. And out of this trust and this devotion came this dependence where he saw God as a fortress, as a rock, where he knew if he put his trust in him, he wasn't going to be shaken. So he had a place of refuge. Even if the situations and the circumstances didn't change, he still had a place of refuge with God. And so he depended deeply, deeply on God. Something he probably learned when he was fleeing from Saul in the caves and he just simply had nothing else. I think sometimes God has to take us to those places where we're lacking everything, where we're needing everything, and we maybe just are doubting ourselves or doubting God, and God takes those tough moments to show us that we can trust and depend on him. Because there are lots of opportunities to practice this in our life, but another psalm highlights this in Psalm 34. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned." So even though this beautifully, I love how the Psalms allow for us to have struggles and not condemn us, but also point us always back in the right direction to God. Because that's what I need when I'm struggling, is this perfect truth that God sees me in that. And even though there's many afflictions of the righteous, God will always deliver us. So, yeah, even though like sometimes we're wrestling with why do bad things happen to good people, we're still encouraged to pour out our hearts to God. And God wants to give us that time to talk with him, to be a friend, to share what's going on in our hearts. And through that, he wants to speak to us, he wants to be our refuge, and he wants to bring his salvation to us. And so this is David, even before the time of Jesus. So he's hoping in God for salvation from his struggles and his circumstances. And he and Jesus hasn't even come yet in terms of the salvation that we know that Jesus brought. So when Jesus does come, I think Jesus takes salvation to a whole new level and what it really means to commune with God. So we even see before Jesus came, David was able to have an intimate relationship with God, I would say, in the way that he prayed. But we have even greater hope now because Jesus says in John 10, verse 7 to 15, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Your presence is an open door." That's right. "All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So when we think of being able to access God, God being able to send his own son changes everything. Even though David had this amazing ability to pray with God, what we have today because of what Jesus did is infinitely greater. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, being the temple of God, changes so much, even more than what David had. But how when we think about this practically in our everyday life, how does this actually change the way that we walk with God? What does it mean to cry out to God now that we have Jesus, when we have Jesus who's interceding for us, when we have the Holy Spirit that helps us to pray? I want us to think, putting flesh on this, Monday morning when work is tough, how do I still be real with God? But Hebrews 4, verse 14 and 16 says about Jesus, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. So let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So here's what he's saying to do, the author of Hebrews. He says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive grace and mercy to help in our time of need. Which means that inherently as God's creatures, we need mercy, we need grace. And to pretend that we don't is just fooling ourselves. We need God in every moment to draw us closer to him, to access his throne. I don't even think I access God. I don't even think I desire to access God's throne without him, because I'm too busy trying to fix my own problems and try to look good in front of other people. But God draws me to him because with what Jesus did, it invites me to want to know God. And something Gordon Fee writes about our need for Jesus and about the Holy Spirit is really struck me as so key, because he says, thus salvation in Christ not only begins by the Spirit, but it is the ongoing work of the Spirit in every area and avenue of life. So it's this continual access of God. We miss both Paul's own life in Christ and his understanding of salvation if we do not see the central role the Spirit plays at every juncture, at all time. And I think the writer of Hebrews is saying that we need all time to come to God for grace and mercy, not just when we're having a rough day, but all the time to live in that place where we're accessing God's throne. And I think the result of this is that we are a people who more and more begin to embody the presence of God, and it changes God through that, changes our the way that we see ourselves and others, and empowers us to live in access with him, and in a friendship where we begin to know his heart, and where we're also having fellowship with God in community, just like this, where we're worshiping God together, where we're called all the time to experience what God has. And something Ephesians 2:22 says is simply this wonderful, beautiful short verse, that in him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So God wants presence not just in us, like in me individually, but in all of us together. And that is a central part of God wanting to make his plans, his heart a reality in our life, is that we can even come together all together and ask God for grace and mercy, because God's heart, ever since creation, was to dwell with his people. It's only us that try to keep him out. God's always the one trying to bring us back to him. So Paul in Ephesians is pointing us forward to not just to see what we have now, but to see the goal ultimately that God has. This goal that we will be this dwelling place for God, that it says in Revelation. So I'm skipping ahead here to Revelation, where this ultimate hope that we have, that's going to shape the way that we access God now. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more, that image of chaos. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard the loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning or crying nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And so when we see, coming back again to where I started and realizing the whatever we find ourselves in today, what our struggles are, being able to realize that this is not only our future, but it's been God's heart the whole way, to whenever he sees a broken mess, that his desire is to help us, and his desire to, and the way that he helps us is through giving us access to himself, where ultimately we're going to have face-to-face connection with God. We're going to be able to talk face-to-face with him, where we're going to be his, like he wants to live in us. To me, that opens my heart to be able to come to God with whatever I'm going through and ask God for his help and his salvation, because I don't have to guess. God, is your heart for me? Do you actually want me to come to your throne room to pour out my heart before you? Because it's so clear that God wants to. So this morning, I want you to think, if there's any area in your life that maybe it's coming to mind right now, or maybe it's something that you just think about on an occasional basis, that's a struggle that you wish would be different. I want to ask you, how could God work in that? And how might coming to God's throne help you see a different perspective in that? And just simply, where do you need God's presence in your life? Where do you need more of the Holy Spirit? Where do you need more hope? Are we good? Oh yeah, we're good. So I want to just give us a chance to do something that I can't just, like, this can't come from me. This has to come from God, who I believe wants just to meet with us today, just because he's God. And we know what he wants in heaven, where we're all going to be so perfectly connected with him. But right now, we get to experience these kind of foretastes of God's presence. So I want us just to spend a little bit of time open to God. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I believe that God just has an open door for us. It's a two-way, where we can bring everything to him and he wants to be real to us. So I just want to close a bit in prayer. And if you can just follow along in your hearts or pray to God, whatever you're going through. But I just want to spend some time and just invite God into our lives. So, yeah, Jesus, this is all about you, and we thank you for what you did for us to make a way for us to once again have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And we acknowledge that there are areas in our lives, God, that we need your help, and we need you, because you alone are the one that has the power and the love, God, to just speak what only you can into our situations. And so we just bring it all to you, Father. We bring all of our emotions, our relationships, Lord. We bring our finances to you. We bring our physical needs, our bodily ailments to you, God. And God, we simply just invite heaven to be opened right now, God, that you would give us what you promised, that you would open up heaven to us, that we would receive not just the gifts that you have for us, not just the healings, but also your presence, your presence to go before us, to shape us. So, at this point, if there's something specific, just say it either in your hearts or out loud to God, and just invite him, into that. God, we just welcome you. Lord, we welcome your presence. We thank you that you're just so gracious to give us this open window into heaven. Lord, if there's just discouragement in this room, if people are feeling like I've tried to pray so much and they still feel like you haven't shown up, Lord, would you just give special grace just to trust that you're seeing everything, Lord? And Lord, for physical needs, God, I pray for healing right now in the name of Jesus, that you would cast out pain and bring full healing, God. If there's doubts and about your goodness and your love, God, I thank you that you're gracious, and I just pray that you would just speak faith and confidence into everyone here that might be struggling with that, Father. And I also just want to lift up depression as well, God, whether it be here in this community. And God, I just want to pray for your freedom that you bought us on the cross. And I pray for full healing from that, even just right now. If there's anyone in this room, or in this community, God, that the freedom that you bought us on the cross would just speak into that, Lord. And so, God, we just invite you, go before us this week. Help us to access your throne in the good times and the bad times, Lord. Let you be our salvation and our vision. In Jesus' name, amen.